We can bring on right now a guy that that I tell you, you don't find many people that know this much about terrorism, and he is Casey Poland from Critical Intervention Services. Casey, Steve and I were talking about this, and we said, you know, that they would hit the World Trade Center, you could understand it's one of the big American icons, but to be able to level the Pentagon, we never thought that that would happen because it's a strict no-fly zone. What happened?
Well, I mean, obviously this operation was extremely well-planned and well-coordinated and had an extreme level of resources dedicated to it. It is probably one of the most well-organized, well-executed terrorism incidents in the history of terrorism. The Trade Center was you know, obviously we spent $50 million since the last bombing to secure those towers, an extra in security countermeasures. I think the message there was clear that they could still reach in and commit the act and bypass the security measures that have been implemented since the last attack. The timing of it was obviously well planned as well. The first plane hitting, the news cameras had 18 minutes to get on there, and then the second plane came in so that everyone could see it and it got on tape. The Pentagon obviously was more of an image type target than anything else. They were trying to show that they could reach the Pentagon. I mean, the Pentagon is built to sustain serious war types of attacks, but they were able to penetrate the Pentagon's perimeters and create a certain level of damage.
How?
Casey, yeah, I think how is the big question here. With all of the resources that the United States has and CIA and intelligence and everything like that, how in the world can this happen and not anybody know about it?
Well, first, the fact that we didn't know about it, I don't think is quite accurate. The State Department did put out a bulletin about a week ago alerting us of potential terrorist attacks. But you need to understand that the Bin Laden Group is operating, if he's involved, which it most probably is, he operates in a decentralized fashion. He plans, coordinates, and provides resources, but the actual people that carry out these attacks operate in cells. So each group that hijacked a plane today...
Casey,
group,
we're going to interrupt you.
Hold on,
the president's talking.
Hold on. That, of course, the president of the United States, George W. Bush... addressing the country, reassuring people that dues will be paid on the events of the day.
The question I have, Ted, is, and Casey's on the line there, you know, he said that there was a bulletin put out that this country was put on alert, and of course the president says we will hunt down and punish. Why do you not? Why do you allow something like this to happen? Why don't you punish him and do it before they strike?
Well, Casey Poland from Critical Intervention Services is with us, and their firm supplies security to businesses that operate overseas as well as in this country. They're terrorism experts, and they're familiar with this. Casey, that's a question from the big dog, Steve Dumick.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, they're going to all extremes. Bin Laden is one of the 10 most wanted people in this country, and they have... numerous efforts on trying to capture him. It's not as easy to do, though, as to say it. It's extremely difficult to get our hands on somebody like that. The point I was making earlier that ties into this is that Bin Laden operates in decentralized cells. So to infiltrate a group like that, you have to infiltrate it at the core, which is next to impossible. Every cell that every hijacked plane today was most likely hijacked by an independent cell, meaning that one cell did not know what the other cell was doing, obviously limiting information and the capability of infiltration. These cells are between 3 and 7 people per cell, so infiltrating that type of operation
is
impossible.
Very difficult.
Would they include in this cell pilots? I mean,
of course. The last two, the two that we arrested in for the embassy bombings had pilots' licenses, and I mean terrorists have their own training systems, and there is no reason why I would not believe that they would not have personnel trained as pilots to be able to do this.
Well, do you think when these planes flew into the building, do you feel in your expertise opinion that the pilot was killed on board and then these guys took over and flew the plane into the buildings?
I can only assume from putting myself in that pilot's position, there's no way that I would crash my plane into
exactly,
that building.
Exactly.
Therefore, the logical conclusion to that would be that most likely one of those terrorists was able to take over the flight and fly it into those buildings himself.
We were talking with Oscar Westerfield earlier, and we said, you know, we haven't heard of a plane being hijacked in this country in quite a while. And he said, you know, they would probably be looking at the services that load the plane, the caterers, the people that go inside to clean the planes, that the people that were involved in this probably got access to the airplane through one of those vehicles.
There's no question that access to the planes was done. How that was done is the question. Now, there's no question, for example, that the terrorists flew those flights prior to this incident. They planned it well. They knew the screening process. And obviously with this market, employment market now that is so tight in getting people hired for jobs because unemployment is so low, that a lot of companies have wind up, you know, sacrificing the screening process in efforts to get people in. So Oscar's assessment is probably accurate as one of the strong possibilities.
I can only tell you that there's got to be concern that the second shoe hasn't fallen yet.
Actually, that's what we're all braced for right now. You know, it's a very well-planned operation, and it would not surprise me if we wind up having some other type of closing act. However, the Pentagon was you know, impressive within that act.
What about the West Coast, Casey? Everything happening here. Steve Dumick pointed out something very, very interesting to me, and that was that while the cameras were fixated there, the second plane came and crashed.
Of course.
But you had enough time for people to get into the building to try to rescue folks in that building, and you would have never thought that you'd see the Twin Towers crumble down like they did, sort of like in an implosion.
The interesting fact, let me tell you, that it's not widely known, is that the Twin Towers were built to be able to sustain a direct hit from a 707 fully fueled, which means that that whatever hit that building had to be larger than that 707, and obviously had a devastating impact on those towers.
Well, and then you had the bomb. We're looking at it right now. The replay of a bigger explosion at the base, and that's obviously when it's falling down. Do you think that there could have been other things planned in that area that to actually time it for the rescue people to get in, knowing that they're in there, and all of a sudden you do it again?
The terrorists have long used a secondary attack technique, which means, for example, they may plant a bomb in a building. The bomb goes off, the building is evacuated, and we, in contingency planning, there's always a pre-designated evacuation area where the employees go to gather to be accounted for. You see schools do the same thing. And many times in the past, terrorists have planted secondary devices at the gathering points to create mass casualties. So in this scenario, it is very possible that that was planned. And if it was and executed in that manner, again, we don't know if it is a secondary device, but if it was, it shows how much more planning and resources went into carrying out this attack.
You know, putting this into proper perspective, Casey, you know, we lost 50,000 people in Vietnam. We could have possibly lost that many today in the two Twin Towers disasters.
The Twin Towers have 50,000 workers plus approximately another 25,000 visitors at any given time. So you're looking at up in excess of 75,000 people within those two buildings and that environment. So, unfortunately, at this point, we don't have casualty reports, but I'm afraid that they're going to be
very
substantial.
High. Mm-hmm. Casey Paulin from Critical Intervention Services. They're terrorism experts, and every time something like this happens, we always call on his expertise. We thank you so much for joining us in the 970 WFLA News Center today.
No problem, Ted.
Thank you, Casey. We are Ted Webb and Steve Dumick on...